Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday. Yeah! Fly Jams Friday. Coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, you big dummy. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here till 5 a.m. All right. So, I have here a list of people's top annoyances, everyday annoyances. And these are like pet peeves, things that make you crazy. Now, Esmeralda, I know that you particularly can't stand it when people take up the whole sidewalk and force you to try and walk around them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of your favorite pet peeves. Well, not favorite, but it's none of them are favorites. But that's an everyday annoyance that bothers you. Dan, what about you? Do you have any of these sort of everyday annoyances that make you nuts?
Yeah, my fallback is always in traffic, you know, on the expressway. Yeah. Just and not even people that don't get out of the left lane, but it goes beyond that. Just have some spatial awareness of what's going on in traffic. Like, the whole idea of the expressway is that everyone kind of moves around. Like, you can go different speeds, but the idea is to not get bunched up and don't disrupt the flow.
Right.
Keep the flow going.
Right, right. Well, I mean, a lot of people's daily annoyances and pet peeves have something to do with driving. That's like, I think the most of the pet peeves that people have to do with driving. Or even just walking down the street when it involves driving. Now, for instance, and I've talked about this before, the intersection that we used to, you know, when we were in the Trib building across the street, there was a Michigan and Illinois had an intersection right by the edge of our building, right at the in our building. And there is there at that intersection, if you're going southbound on Michigan, there's a left turn lane to get into to go down to upper Illinois. And there's a green arrow. So there's an arrow. But if there's a lot of foot traffic on Michigan, people don't pay attention to it and will start crossing the street.
Yeah, also, yeah, people think the hand means you have the right of way when it means no, you go when it's clear, when nobody's turning.
Yeah, so what happens is once that green arrow goes, idiots still walk across the street. And so that not only makes foot traffic ridiculous, but that means the person can't turn left who wants to turn left, which means you pedestrians are now responsible for backing up traffic on Michigan Avenue. So if there's a hand that says stop, you stop. I mean, just it's a really simple thing. Don't cross the street. But it happens all the time. People in that, and especially at that intersection, and a lot of intersections where they have the arrow. If you have the green arrow, people just, whatever. And then that bottles up traffic, and that causes a headache 4, 5, 10 blocks away because these people are blocking up traffic because they have to cross the street. And that's really annoying. Really annoying. But, you know, when I drove, because I drove for many years, I just haven't driven in a long time. I don't have a car now, but I drove for many, many years. And my philosophy on driving is this, is you must assume when you're driving, you must assume that every other person in every car is an idiot and will do something stupid and dangerous at any given moment. And 9 times out of 10, that's the case. So if you just have that mindset where it's like, this person could just maybe just swerve over into my lane without a signal in a millisecond, or this guy in front of me is going to turn right from the left-hand lane. You know, that stuff, just you have that in your head. It's like just the philosophy is that you're driving and every single person in the cars driving around you is a moron who will do something stupid at any second. And that seems to be almost an accurate description of that. And you know what? And if I'm driving and the person next to me is driving, he thinks I'm an idiot and will do something stupid. And I find that's fair enough. You know what I mean? If somebody is driving with me, you know, on the road, and they go, this guy next to me is an idiot, and he'll do something stupid, I'll be like, yeah, that's the way you should think. That's the right philosophy. But, yeah, so a lot of annoyances involve driving. But, you know, since I don't drive anymore, you know, there's I'm less angry. Maybe. I don't know. Now, public transportation, there are a lot of annoyances there. Esmeralda, you can speak to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
The one that makes me absolutely crazy is when a train pulls into a station and people try to get in without letting the people out. That makes me absolutely nuts.
I pummel again. I just pummel through people.
Just let the people get off the train first before you go in. I just don't understand. I really do not understand the logic behind that. It's just, and it happens all the time, and a lot of people do it. I mean, it just seems really simple to me. The doors open. You let the people on the train get off before you try to get on. I don't know. I mean, doesn't that seem logical to you, Esmeralda?
Yeah, makes sense.
I mean,
there's also the people who don't understand that you can't all stand by the doors.
Right.
Yes. Let me make this as a PSA for everyone coming into the city, be it a Cubs game, a festival, Blackhawks, anything.
Yeah.
If you're on a bus or a train,
move it
towards the middle.
Exactly.
To the middle.
It's not, I mean,
Don't worry. The doors will not shut on you
if
you can't get out. Don't worry. It's not going to happen.
And I mean, it really is especially true. You mentioned Cubs games, man. When you ride the Red Line, when there are Cub games, before or especially after, because after everybody's hammered and they don't know what the hell they're doing, you know, and I mean, I haven't been on the Red Line in a long time and I haven't, you know, ridden, but I lived, you know, Esmeralda, I lived like right by the, like blocks away from the Lawrence Brown Line, the mm-hmm. end of the Brown Line. You know where that is. That's your neighborhood. And, I would take the train to Cub games. You know, I would take, I'd take the Brown Line to Belmont and then I'd double back and go and take the Red Line, get on the Red Line and take that to Addison and go back. You know, I'd have to cross over and go back, or I'd walk from Belmont and Sheffield because Belmont and Sheffield is pretty close to Wrigley. But I can't tell you the number of times, you know, how completely ridiculous it is did anybody take public transportation, an L or a bus or a subway during Lollapalooza? I mean, I've done that, and that is just...
I managed to avoid it because I was coming in just before it was letting out.
Mm. You know, I used to have a Saturday show. Well, you produced it, Dan, for about a year.
Really? You worked on Saturday?
Yeah, and it was an evening show. You know, for a while, it started at 8. And then it started at 6, but it was always in, you know, the evening, and I would go till, and then some, actually, I did have like a 10 to midnight shift as well, a later show, but I basically worked every shift you can work in the evening on Saturday. So I've had all kinds of wonderful experiences taking public transportation in on a Saturday, and Lollapalooza was always the worst, when I would come in for the Saturday show, because it's an all-day thing. People go when they want to go. You know, like there are times when people, you know, a lot of people are not going to spend the whole day and night there. So there are always waves of idiots on Lollapalooza. There are waves of idiots who are riding the train downtown or coming back, and you can't avoid it. So like, look, at the beginning of my show, when I'm coming down, morons. At the end of my show, when I'm going back, morons. And it was always Lollapalooza. And I also, you know, on Saturdays every once in a while, you know, the 4th of July would fall on a Saturday, or the 3rd of July, the night of the 3rd of July and the 4th of July. Morons. I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know. I mean, but I'll tell you, Esmeralda, the Cub games are really, that's very special.
Yeah. And it's just, and again, I just pummel through.
Yeah.
And I go to the middle because it's empty.
You know what's really funny, Esmeralda? I live across the street from a Blue Line stop, like almost directly across the street from a Blue Line stop. And there is a shuttle service so people can park in a parking lot and take the shuttle to Wrigley from basically where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you the number of idiots that are just walking down the street, you know, I don't even have to deal with it. You know what I mean? I'm not getting on the train, but you can always tell when there's a Cub game letting out because it just like for instance, last night when I was coming into work, because there was a late Cub game And Cole Hamels, man, complete game. Yes, sir.
He rules.
He's amazing.
Fountain of youth.
4-0, baby, in five starts. 4-0 with the Cubs. Sorry, Esmeralda. Dan and I were bonding a little bit over the Cubs. But anyway, when I was walking out to leave for work, because I left for work around 11, there's a bus stop right at the corner in front of my apartment. And it just, hey, people getting off the Irving bus. Like, what the heck? Yep, there was a Cub game. Oh, right, there was a Cub game. That's why there's people screaming and falling down on the streets. I forgot there was a Cub game.
See, and for me, those aren't the worst. The worst are the people who are stone-cold sober, and they just don't know nothing about nothing.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Esmeralda. I agree. Because you could always fall back on the fact that you're drunk. You know what I mean? That's fine. Yeah, but if you're not drunk and you...
And you're just the most...
You're an idiot.
I don't know. You're just the most naive person in the universe.
Right.
And don't know how anything works.
Right. Well, listen, we have some more here of everyday annoyances and pet peeves. What are yours? And I have 26 of them that someone wrote about on a Sharp Eye website, a Sharp Eye. And some of these are really good. We've got a few traffic ones that we've already talked about because the driving thing is usually near the top of the list when you're talking about daily annoyances. And, of course, public transportation. Public transportation. So, anyway, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can get in here with yours. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is one of my favorite songs of all time. I love The Prodigy. Esmeralda, do you enjoy The Prodigy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. they're the best. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we were talking about daily annoyances, everyday annoyances. If you want to join us, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We'll read some text, take your calls. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Friday, Fly Jams Friday, a special edition. We're going to be playing the top songs, top Fly Jams from each year, starting 1960 going to 2000. So a little special edition of Fly Jams Friday this morning. That's coming up. And everyday annoyances. Esmeralda, I remember I went to go see Prodigy at the Congress back in 2005. I saw him. Which is a little past their prime, you know, because their popularity was in the late 90s.
Right.
But it was one of the coolest, it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. It was insane. It really was like a rave. Like, people were going nuts. And we were Heather and I were in the balcony. And, you know, you've been to the Congress for a concert, Esmeralda?
I haven't, actually.
Okay, because they took what they it was an old, you know, performance theater, movie theater, and they took out, like, the first 20 rows, so there could be a pit in the front, and then you can sit there. Then they had the regular seats in the back, but they took out, like, 20 rows. And we were in the balcony, and we were looking down, and it was just a sea of people jumping up and down in unison, and it was so loud and so crazy. It was one of the best shows, because I love The Prodigy. I just think they're great. And so it was a fun show. But I felt like I was at the end of you ever see the movie Strange Days, Esmeralda?
No.
Okay.
But I've seen bits and pieces.
Because the end of Strange Days, that's what I felt like. I felt like I was at the end of the movie Strange Days. That's what it felt like. It was crazy. So anyway, that was a good show. Those guys are weirdos. All right. All right, are we ready for some more of these everyday annoyances? This is from Sharp Eye website here. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Clipping, painting, or filing your nails in public?
I don't get that.
People do it on the train.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I think you should leave your personal grooming at home. That's what I think.
Especially, like, you're not even doing it over a trash can.
No.
You're just letting those babies fly.
Yeah, the clippings just flying across the.
And have those people who are clipping their nails have just claws.
Right.
So it's giant, very sharp pieces of nail coming at
you. Flying into your Starbucks cup.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the footage? This was in Florida, of course. But have you seen the footage? Of the woman at a at a public pool shaving her legs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, what the hell is that? It's bad enough you're clipping your nails in public or on the bus or on the train or something, but shaving your legs in a public pool?
I'm also just like, why didn't anybody? No one? The lifeguard? No?
Okay. It's Florida, Esmeralda. It's a whole different set of rules in Florida. Here's Paxton on WGN. Hi, Paxton.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hi.
What it really gets to me is when you're alone in a room and someone comes in and you say hi to them and they look at you like you're from the planet Tralfalmador.
Mm-hmm.
They have that blank stare. I had an English teacher once that told me, people like that, you should treat everybody like they're fellow passengers to the grave.
Uh-huh.
And you're just walking by them and you should greet them.
And greet them, exactly. Like if you're at a party and someone says hi, you should greet them. If you're hosting the party, greet them. Yeah, that makes sense. And don't shave your legs in a public pool. I believe that's what we learned in this segment. Let's take a break. The news is coming up. Lots more Everyday Annoyances. Paxton, thanks for the call, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, 18 floors above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Nick DiGilio here, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. Special edition. We're going to play top Fly Jams from each year, starting in 1960 and going on. So that'll be fun. The phone lines are open and the text lines are open. We're talking about everyday annoyances, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Hey, Dan, have you seen the movie Real Genius?
No.
And I know, Esmeralda, you haven't seen it either. Because that the song we just played there, the Tears for Fears song they play at the end, it always makes me think of Real Genius every time I hear the song. It's a great movie. It's a really, really funny movie. Val Kilmer's in it. And it's the finest Val Kilmer performance ever. So, anyway, hey, did I just? I was looking on the internets during the break. I'm looking. Sabatino's is going to close. Do you guys, you know the restaurant Sabatino's?
Yeah, that was it's been a news bit.
Well,
it's being reported.
No, they can't do that.
Yeah, I guess the siblings, the kids, don't want to keep going.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, I live walking distance from that place. That place is legendary. I can't even believe it. Now I'm upset.
When was the last time you were in?
Last year. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't eat out a lot, but I think the last time I was there, the last fall, so almost a year. Was the last time I was there. But I've been there like 9,000 times. It's weird. I live very, very close to there, and I don't go there as often as I should. And so I feel like I'm responsible because maybe I took the place for granted. I just thought Sabatino's is going to be there forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only a few blocks away. So it's like, well, I should have gone more often. But I'll have to stop in there before. They're not closed yet, are they?
No, I believe till the end of December.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll make sure I go there a few more times before they close. Because it's old. Have you been there, Esmeralda?
I haven't.
It's total old school Italian. It's great. It's a great old school restaurant. Yeah, it's fantastic. The food is really good, too. And it's been there forever. I don't, you just, that's a, man. Anyway, so that's sad news for my neighborhood. All right. Hey, annoyances. Are you ready, Esmeralda? Here's a little more. Singing or reading out loud?
Well, I mean, it depends where it is.
Yeah.
If you're on the train.
No.
It's a bit much.
Yeah. Like somebody with their headphones on.
Oh, and they start singing.
Start singing. That's not good.
No.
Yeah. Let's see. How about this? Being a very sweaty person who doesn't wipe down the cardio machine after using it.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's just hygiene.
No, that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't go to gyms, but yeah, I mean, and in Seinfeld, that's a clear violation of the club rules. I don't know if you know that or not.
Mm-hmm.
In Seinfeld, the episode, George is going to blackmail this guy because he was going to tell the club that George pees in the shower. George pees in the shower. let's see. Not cleaning up after you've made a mess. Well, that happens here a lot, or at least it used to happen at the other place. It happens here now.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll still get the group email to everybody.
Yeah,
make sure you clean up. Please clean up your workstations.
Clean up your workstations. Keep your keep the fridge clean. Well, right now they're in the break room in the back over there. There are a bunch of leftover chicken and waffles that, you know, and that's the other thing about working this shift is that you get food that's like 18 hours old. They figure, oh, just leave it out. The guys who work overnight will eat it. There's like mac and cheese, Esmeralda. There's mac and cheese and chicken and waffles in the
oven. Yeah, I had a little bit.
Yeah, the hash browns are on point. I don't know how long they've been sitting out there.
The hash browns?
Very good.
You had the hash browns?
I did.
I didn't understand the hash browns, honestly.
What's not to understand?
Well, no, I don't get it in the context of the whole
maybe
thing.
Because you get, you know, because the maple syrup goes on the waffles and the pancakes and the waffles and the chicken, and it's
right.
Maybe it's kind of a breakfast item.
Because Vic was like, oh, well, it's breakfast food. I'm like, yeah, but how's the mac and cheese play in?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, you can eat mac and cheese anytime. But anyway, they just leave that stuff for us.
Yeah.
That's always what I, you know, and that's fine. I mean, I had a piece of chicken. I was like, okay, that's okay.
I guess it was from the House of Blues gospel lunch.
Oh.
Which is pretty cool. I forgot they did that.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to that.
I've been to that, too. It's awesome.
No, my pet peeve is, and Dan, if you know who the offender is, you give me their name.
Because he works here during the when there are actually people here.
Right.
Right.
Is someone keeps leaving their cup of noodles. For some reason, they keep heating it up in the microwave.
What?
And then letting the broth spill over and then not clean it up in the microwave.
Oh, man.
Now, I do not know. I don't even have a suspicion for the cup of noodles bandit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I mean, cleaning up after, you know, like the when we were over at in the Trib building, that microwave was a nightmare, man. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
And this one's starting to get...
it only took, you know, how long have we been here? Since June, right?
Yeah, about.
Yeah, but 2.5 months, and it's already like, yeah, whatever, just leave the cup of noodles juice all over the place.
Well, the thing is, they did that at the other place, too.
Oh, see,
whoever this is.
It's consistent personality. That's what it is. It's consistent behavior. We can't have anything. Everything is nice and new here. Can't we keep it nice and new for a little while?
Right. Clean slate, guys.
Because, I mean, there's beautiful stuff here. We've got fantastic big refrigerators. We've got, like, microwaves and beautiful clean sinks. And everything is new. We're in, like, this new facility. Let's try and take care of it. I just want you to know, Esmeralda, that do you use that the bathroom that's not very far from the kitchen area there?
Every once in a while.
Because that's it's a unisex bathroom.
Yeah.
It's one of the bathroom there. I just want you to know that if you used it, I did not put the toilet seat was down.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was up when I went in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who was in there before me, but the toilet seat was up.
It's so difficult.
This is a thing.
So difficult for you men.
It's not. Listen, I've had many, many complaints from women that I've dated and lived with. Many. Many. I got two divorces under my belt, okay? But the toilet seat thing has never, ever been an issue because I put both lids down. I live by myself.
Good for you.
I live by myself, and both lids are down right now at my house.
Good for you.
And I've been, because I don't understand it. I just don't understand why.
I don't get it either. V does it, and... My issue, too, is aren't you scared stuff's just going to fall into the toilet?
Well, that's a concern.
Because we have, you know, the thing.
Medicine
with the
cabinet?
Shelves.
Medicine cabinet thing?
That is directly above the toilet.
No, see, now.
That's how they set it up in our bathroom.
See, here's the thing. Many reasons why I don't understand why guys keep the lid up. And just aesthetically, I would rather not see the inside of my toilet. I mean, it's not that it's dirt, it's filthy or anything, but I'd rather, it's more aesthetically pleasing to have the toilet seat down. I think I think the bathroom looks better with a closed toilet. That's just me. And I've been that way my whole life. Even when I was a little kid, both lids were down. So that, I mean, listen, that's one of the very few complaints that I've never had from a woman was because I always put the toilet seat down.
In my house back in the day, it had a cover on it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Did your parents do
that? Oh, yeah. Those were awesome.
Crocheted covers.
Yeah, we did have that. Yes, we did. Do people still have those?
Probably.
They've got to be. You know what? Dan, do you have any idea what we're talking about?
Yeah, I remember. I think my grandparents had like a fuzzy green one.
Right, exactly. That goes right over. You took it. You put it over the toilet seat lid.
Yeah. It usually would. It would be a whole set. So you have the bath mat.
Right.
And the toilet cover.
Right. I forgot about that.
We would also, some of my mom's friends would have a doll wearing a big dress.
And
it would be the toilet paper. So like the extra toilet paper.
Right.
It would get decorated.
I think my mom has one of those. I don't think it's out right now, but I think she did have it. Like wait a minute. You're talking about, it holds on to the extra toilet paper.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it holds one roll.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking
about.
It's a doll with
a big dress.
You lift it up and the toilet paper is underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, that's a fantastic invention. I'll tell you something, that's a classy bathroom. That's a place I want to poop.
Because, God forbid, you want to see extra toilet paper. Not judged up by this doll.
Man, oh man, people are weird. All right, here's Larry on WGN. Hey, Larry.
Yeah, I'm calling about people who hold up the line at grocery stores or convenience stores because they can't operate the credit or debit cards. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah. Now, see, that's taken, now that people are using they have the chip in the credit card. It takes a little bit longer, but that's turning into the modern day writing a check for your groceries.
Yes,
you know, it takes.
I don't know whether it's me or not, but it's every time I seem like I get behind someone, and just 5 minutes, and they're still standing there.
Yeah, I know it's weird, man. You always get in the wrong line. All right, Larry, thanks for the call, sir.
You bet.
All right,
I got someone who was trying to pay with their phone. You know, they're trying to tap it, and it wasn't going. I'm just like, oh, my God, just give them money.
Yeah. I don't understand it. What were you going to say something, Dan?
Yeah, I think the chips have gotten a little bit better since they started the technology, because I remember when they first got implemented, it was like, and you had no control over the transaction. You had to stand there, and it felt like 20 minutes at the register. Everyone is staring at you.
No, it's better now. It's much better now. But I think some people just still don't understand what to do. I mean, it's pretty simple. You stick the thing in. Okay. Well, that's going to be up on, that'll be on next Friday.
I think, too, they need to streamline it. They ask too many questions that could be confusing.
Mm.
Because sometimes I go, no. And then it's like, oh, that's the one to actually let it go through. Great. Oh. You need to restart it again.
Right. Well, the whole, like, do you want cash back, all that mm-hmm. stuff. I don't know. I just want to pay for this thing. And that's all. So, so people who take long, I mean, that's a universal thing. Like, you always get in the wrong line. It seems like you're always in the wrong line. Doesn't it? Like, if you're at the grocery store, you're at the bank or whatever. Well, nobody really goes to the bank anymore. Does anybody really go to the bank anymore?
I mean, you gotta.
I seriously haven't been to the bank. I have not been inside my bank in a year.
Yeah. I had a bank account for a while where they would charge you if you went to the teller.
What?
Yeah, it was a very streamlined business account, or not business account, but just an account. It was much cheaper. I think the limits were really low, like how much you had to have in the account or to start it. The minimum.
Seriously,
really low.
They charged.
But yeah, they would charge you because it was all online.
That's absurd.
So if you went to the teller, they would charge you.
They would, because it's the opposite of a convenience charge.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, is that crazy. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got more annoyances that we want to share. 312-981-7200 is the phone number right here on WGN. Esmeralda, I had a music IQ test quiz on this song yesterday.
You did?
Mm-hmm. That's Tenderness by General Public. Remember the question was, what was General Public's one hit? And I immediately went, Tenderness!
Oh.
That's that song.
I thought this was The Cure.
It sounds like The Cure. Yeah, it is. That was General Public, and the question yesterday was, what was their one hit? And I loved that song. And that whole album is really good, actually. But it does, I can see why you would, until the vocals come on, full on, because Robert Smith has a pretty distinctive vocal style,
mm-hmm.
You would probably be able to tell it wasn't The Cure. But that certainly, instrumental part, sounds like it could be The Cure easily. And it came out at the time when The Cure was on top, too, like right around that mid-80s time. So, hey, I just want to remind you Blackhawks fans that hockey season's just around the corner. The countdown is on. Single-game tickets for regular season home games are on sale right now. The team's regular season home opener is on Sunday, October 7th. They're going to be playing the Toronto Maple Leafs, so get your tickets at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. That's ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Your regular season tickets, and also you got your preseason games, too. Those tickets are on sale as well. So get all your tickets available at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. That's ChicagoBlackhawks.com. We are talking about daily annoyances and pet peeves. Here we got some texts that come in. 630 area code says, my pet peeve is seeing flyers, billboards, commercials, etc. promoting things that have ended. Take it down. It happened already. It's over. It drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of annoying.
Yeah. Mark the Breadman says, being a delivery driver and Uber driver, I'm in traffic a lot. People not using turn signals drives me nuts. Yeah, that's just stupid. 608 area code. Adults picking their nose. do people just pick their nose in public? Is that a...
Yeah, and people try to be sly about it.
Okay.
Doing the around the edge.
It looks like it's a scratch, not a pick.
Yeah.
Right. 312 says, I hate it when I'm in an elevator at the main floor, people are blocking me from getting off. That's pretty much the same kind of principle as the train. People getting, let the people who are on the device off first before you get in. 214 area code, Brian says, absolute jerks who watch video on their phone with the volume cranked in public. I hate them. Well, that's when you put your earbuds in, right? Wouldn't that make more sense? 812 area code says, standing behind someone buying lottery tickets. Then they ask the clerk which ones are good. I want to shout out, they're all a ripoff, dude. I just want to pay for my gas. Okay. Other ones that were on here on the SharpEye list here. And if you guys, we can jump in here because I know that everybody's got them. Annoyances and pet peeves. What about talking loudly on a cell phone in quiet places? Talking loudly on a cell phone anywhere is annoying. Yeah, I remember I was in a movie a couple years ago in a movie theater. And someone answered their phone, and didn't leave the theater. Like if your phone like vibrates or rings or something, and you're expecting like an important call or maybe it's an emergency, go out to the lobby. At least take the phone call in the lobby. This guy's phone goes off. I can't remember what movie it was. But he picks up the phone. Hello. Like it's in the middle of the movie. Hello. Yeah. Yeah, I'm in a movie. It's pretty good. Yeah. And everybody was like, would you shut up? You know, and people finally were like, so finally he got off the phone. But I love the fact that he's like, yeah, it's pretty good about the movie. Why don't you shut up if you like the movie? Why don't you shut up and watch it? How about whining just to whine and not trying to resolve the problem? That seems to annoy some people. My phone just buzzed. That's great. How about name dropping? I always have lunch with Colin Powell when I'm in Washington. That's the example that they use. Do people really, a lot of people name drop?
I've you know, it's, I think it, I mean, it really depends.
Yeah.
Depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have anybody to name drop about, though. That's the Dana. That's about it. I can name
you
drop Danny
name
Lorenzo.
Drop about your buddy Jeremy Piven.
Oh yeah, Jeremy. Oh, Bill Janovitz from Bill Buffalo Tom,
or
Cusack.
There you go.
A lot of Cusack stories. Yeah.
Or
Gary Busey. Gary Busey. That I enjoy name dropping. That's fun. You know, to let people know that you know that, right, Dan? That I spent a whole week hanging out with Gary Busey.
How did I not know
that? You
this?
Don't know that?
No.
Oh, my God. All right, we'll just take a break. I have to
block off a whole segment.
I'll give you just a couple of quick stories. There's a lot of the stuff that happened during that week that I spent hanging out with Gary Busey I can't talk about on the radio. All right. Thanks for bringing up Gary Busey, Esmeralda. That's good. All right, news is up next. Welcome back, everybody. We're back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? It is Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday. Yeah! Coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all of our regular features. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We'll read your texts and your comments. We're talking about pet peeves, daily annoyances that make you nuts. And there's an endless supply of these, Esmeralda. I don't think we could ever run out of these.
Oh, no, not at all.
As long as people are humans.
I mean, everything could be a pet peeve, honestly. You drink too loud.
You drink too loud. Oh, man. Because what was it? Elaine and Putty always break up. You know, on Seinfeld, they get together, then they break up. One of my favorites is when they go on a trip and they break up on the plane.
Oh, right.
And it's because, like, she's, like, reading a magazine or something. She's, like, reading a magazine, and he's just, like, staring at the seat in front of him with that great Putty stare, just kind of sitting there staring at the seat. And she's like, are you going to read something? Would you like something to read? And he's like, no, I don't need anything to read. She's like, do you want to go to sleep? Are you gonna sleep? No, I'm not gonna sleep. You gonna get a drink or something? No. And he's just staring. And she's like, okay, that's it. We're broken up because she can't stand it. He's just sitting there blankly staring at the seat in front of him and not reading or sleeping or doing anything on the plane. Oh, man. All right. How about this one? Barging into an ongoing conversation and interrupting by asking what the topic is. Hey, what are you guys talking about? That doesn't happen very often, does it? Do people really do that?
I would think people, I mean, this is what I usually do. You kind of sidle over and listen and then interject.
Yeah.
A lot of smiling and nodding, like you know what they're talking about because you're too embarrassed to ask.
Hey, what are you guys talking about? And of course, that reminds me of Animal House. Speaking of it being 40 years old, is when they're at the first party, and Flounder walks up to the guys, and they're playing cards, and Flounder comes up and goes, "Hey, you guys playing cards?" And they just blankly stare at him, like, "Yes, moron, we're playing cards." "Hey, you guys playing cards?" All right. Taking up two parking spaces. See, taking up two parking spaces, that's just, I mean, that is the work of a, hey, you know that TV show with Catherine Bell? That show, Jag? And then you know what the opposite of on is? Put those two together because that's what someone who does that is.
You think Larry Jag does that?
Larry Jag. Taking up two parking spaces.
Is that in any way legal?
You know what? I think,
or is it just rude?
I think it's just rude. I don't think you can, because I think whoever owns the property, mm-hmm. You know, has the whatever over that. I don't think, because if you do right. It, yeah. I don't think you can get a ticket for that. Although, you know, it could be worse because some people will, like, key your car and do something worse to your car. You know what I mean? So, and I like when they leave, my favorite is when they leave the passive-aggressive notes. You know, you ever see some of those?
Yeah.
You ever see, there's like a website, Esmeralda, I think, that's dedicated to passive-aggressive notes. Like, you know, like notes left at work by the refrigerator. Yes, please, feel free to eat my sandwich anytime you want. Like those kind of things. Like people leaving snarky, sarcastic notes.
Oh, I've wanted to leave so many notes around this place.
Oh, I bet. And you know what? Mary does. Like when she would leave a note on the fridge every week. Clean up your mess. Get this crap out of the refrigerator. It's going in the garbage.
There was one I did see in the toilet.
Oh, yes. I did saw that one, too.
That just said to put the seat down.
Put the seat down. But then it said, and then parentheses, it said, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to worry about that with me. I've said that already. That's not a concern.
Did you write that in the note?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I just, but it's always, you know, because it's just, even in a public bathroom, I will put the seat down. In public bathrooms, though, they don't necessarily have the second lid. You know, most public toilets don't. They just have the one.
See, that's psychotic to me. If I'm in a public restroom, I'm touching the least amount of things possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand. I can understand that. That's when everybody uses their feet to do stuff.
And I've seen some innovations, like to open the door, there's a little thing at the bottom where you can hook your foot in to open it.
Right.
Or use your elbow.
For all the people who are germaphobes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because it's real.
Well,
though.
No, I was going to say it's you don't have to be a germaphobe to realize that a public restroom is not the greatest place in the world. You know what I mean? There's not enough hand sanitizer in the world. That's when you just start gargling hand sanitizer at that point. Here's Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
How about when the roommate doesn't clean their hair out of the shower drain?
You had that problem in the past, Paul?
Yeah, and then you tell them about it, and they forget, and they leave it there. Or if someone doesn't flush twice when they need to.
Are you talking about the courtesy flush? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, the old courtesy flush. Now that's a public toilet thing, right? Isn't that mostly a public? I mean, if you live alone, you don't get give yourself a courtesy flush, right?
Right, but I think he means like if it's very messy,
yeah,
and it needs to be,
yeah,
one flush will not do
one
the,
flush
the
will
trick.
Not do the trick because you were at Chipotle earlier in the day.
Although the first one. And now I can't remember. What was the first one that he said?
The hair in the
yes.
shower.
So my hair, I shed. I shed like a dog.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So when I wash my hair, I just have hair all in my hands when I run my hands through my hair. And I take it off my hands and I put it on the wall. And sometimes I forget to collect it. I usually do a fairly good job at collecting it.
I have to tell you something. I do the same thing.
Yeah, because
my hair is getting longer now, and
else do you do with it?
I know exactly. I put it on the wall, and then I take it off.
Right,
but it's kind of disgusting if you leave it there, though. I mean, there's just hair plastered.
It is clean. But when I was living in the dorms in college, I had forgotten to take it off the wall, and one of my roommates we shared a bathroom with me and my roommate, and then the other couple too, in the other side. And one of them was just very like grossed out about the whole situation about hair and all that. And then my roommate decided, because she noticed that I left it there, she decided to write my other roommate's name in my hair. So she freaked her out.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. Oh, man. All right. What are some of the other ones? Paul, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. Tooting your own or your family's horn. Like, for instance, my son got into every college he applied to. Well, if you're proud of your son, right? I don't know. That doesn't seem too bad to me.
Yeah, but it's... I don't know. Because it's like, okay, great.
Well, if you don't... What do you mean, if you don't ask? Like, if you don't... Yeah. If they're just volunteering that information.
Yeah, and usually no one's asking.
Yeah. Well, maybe some people be like, hey, I understand your son's going to college.
Oh, yeah, they got into every college they applied. It's like, all right. Jeez.
How about this? Oh, here we go, Esmeralda, taking up two seats on public transit. The old manscaping. No, that's not manscaping.
No.
Manscaping is a little different. Man, what's it called? Manspreading?
Yes. I hope no one's manscaping on the train.
No, absolutely not. It was bad enough a woman was shaving her legs in a pool. I'm going to do a little manscaping here on the subway. Watch out. Oh, man. All right. Why don't we take a quick break here and come back? And if you guys want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for your pet peeves and things that make you nuts. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 floors above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. I'm Nick DiGilio, and we've got our regular Friday features coming up in a little bit. We'll have You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and then it becomes Fly Jams Friday. And the Fly Jams Friday today... is going to be kind of a special one. We're going to be playing songs that were the biggest songs from the years from 1960 on. And so that'll be fun. 312-981-7200 is the phone number and text number. And we are talking about pet peeves or general daily annoyances. 312-981-7200. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, you know, I drive truck and I run through Chicago area a lot. And I stop at the Oasis, to take a break. And I swear that, all etiquette goes out the window when people use the bathrooms there. I swear it's almost like they're peeing through a sprinkler. I'm surprised it even hit the water.
Yeah.
Toilet paper on the floor. It's like, do their houses even look like this?
Yeah. Well, I think maybe it's just that because it's not their house. It's like, whatever. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to clean up after this and whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The only thing, at least the only thing is worse is I don't find hair on the wall.
That spells a name.
Yeah.
Glenn, thanks for the call, buddy.
You're welcome.
All right,
have a nice weekend.
There, you too. That's pretty funny. Oh, man. It's like peeing into a sprinkler. Is that what he said?
Oh, yeah.
Can I just tell you what one of the bathrooms that I find disgusting almost every time I go into it?
Mm.
The River East movie theater.
Really?
Disgusting. Every time. There's toilet paper all over the place. There's paper towels. It's usually... and there's pee. I mean, just like if you go into the stall, there's pee everywhere. I don't know if maybe I just go on the nights that they don't clean.
Maybe.
I don't know, but it's sort of like consistently one of the most disgusting public bathrooms I've ever been in is the River East Theater right down the street here. No, it's not right down the street here because we're not in the same building as we are anymore. It's
well,
across
kind
the
river. Of.
Yeah, yeah.
It's down Columbus.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's now is the ladies' room at the River East okay?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, if it didn't stick with you, you know what I mean? Like because that one pops into my head immediately. Like if someone were to say, what are some disgusting public restrooms? The River East is pretty high, pretty high on the list, man. All right. Here's one that makes me nuts, Esmeralda. People who do not return their shopping cart, or at least put it to the where the shopping carts are in the parking lot.
Oh yeah,
makes me nuts.
Yeah, that's really annoying. It's not that far.
It's Come not. On. And now they have these little bins, these little areas where you can put the carts in the parking lot. It used to be if you were in the parking lot and you were farther away from the store, it was kind of a pain in the neck to bring the cart all the way back. But now they've got these little corrals that are all over the parking lot that couldn't be more than 5 feet from your car. I really don't. And you see carts just out in the middle of the parking lot all the time.
Oh, see, and I don't know a time without corrals. There's always been corrals.
Oh, well, when I worked at the Jewel a very long time ago, and there were no corrals there. We were a very small Jewel. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I. But again, you have the corrals there. How difficult is it? Yeah, I'm just going to leave this right here. I can't stand that. It makes me nuts. Let's see. 847 area code. Jeremy Piven has always annoyed me. Join
That's
the club.
A pet peeve.
That's a pet peeve.
Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven is my pet peeve. 872 area code says, people who shoulder surf while you're watching a video on your phone, and then they voice the opinion of what you're watching.
Shoulder surf. I've never heard that
I've never
term.
Heard that term, but obviously it's looking over your shoulder
right.
to look at you, but I've never heard shoulder surf. You know, that happened to me one time, Esmeralda. Have I ever told you this story?
That someone was shoulder surfing
Yeah, someone you? Shoulder surfed me on the subway.
Oh.
Okay. And you familiar with the movie Crash? And I'm not talking about the one with Matt Dillon that won Best Picture that shouldn't have.
Yes.
I'm talking about the one with James Spader and Holly Hunter where they have sex and crash cars.
Yeah.
David Cronenberg directed. You know mm-hmm. that movie?
Yeah.
Wow. That's what? Awesome. No, I don't know because it's not a lot of people know it. Well, anyway, it's based on this book by J.G. Ballard of the same name. And the book, if you thought the movie was weird, have you seen the movie?
I haven't, no.
If you think the movie's weird, Dan, have you seen Crash, the good one? Not the one that won Best Picture? Where it's just people having sex and crashing cars, and it's really graphic.
No,
and
I've never seen that.
David Cronenberg, man. That's a Cronenberg movie. So anyway, it's based on this book by J.G. Ballard. And if the book, every page of that book, there's some sort of bodily fluid flying around. There's descriptions of things sexual and ridiculous in nature. It is a really crazy. It's a great book. It's a great book. But it's really, really crazy and very, very descriptive and disgusting and full of sex and bodily fluids and all kinds of stuff. So I'm on the train, Esmeralda, and I'm reading Crash. And a woman sits down next to me, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm not even paying attention. I'm reading the book, and I kind of like feel that she's like looking over my doing the shoulder surf thing.
Mm-hmm.
And about a minute later, she got up and moved. Because she read some of the stuff that was in the book, and she's like, I'm not sitting next to this guy.
Well, there you go. It's a good deterrent.
It was, yeah, exactly. If you want to make sure nobody's going to sit next to you on a subway, read Crash in public. That'll do it. That'll do it for you. That's a little tip from your old buddy Nick. Hey, don't want to be bothered on the subway? Want nobody to sit next to you? Have J.G. Ballard's Crash with you at all times. J.G. Ballard is this great, you know, weird sort of sci-fi writer. But you know who you guys know who J.G. Ballard is and who he was?
No.
Do you guys know the movie Empire of the Sun when Christian Bale was a little kid, World War II movie?
Yeah, vaguely.
The kid that Christian Bale played is J.G. Ballard. He was in internment camp during World War II, and that's his story. He wrote his book about it. And then when he got out, he started writing weirdo books. When he got back from the war, he grew up and started writing weirdo books. But that's J.G. Ballard, the kid that Christian Bale plays in Empire of the Sun. It eventually grows up to write Crash and to clear out subway cars all across the world. So, All right, we got a break here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we've got more texts coming in, and we'll finish up the talk about annoying things, and then in just a little bit, we will jump into the regular Friday feature, starting with you, Big Dummy. It's all coming up right here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and I'm here till 5 a.m., and it's Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday. Coming up, straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, and You Big Dummy coming up in just a few minutes. We've been talking about pet peeves and daily annoyances, and we've got a lot more of that to talk about. But you know what? I forgot that I didn't tell you a quick Gary Busey story. Because, Dan, Dan Long, I can't believe you didn't know this. But Gary Busey and I hung out for 7 days straight. This was in 1992. It was in the fall of 1992. He was in town filming that stupid-ass movie where the kid breaks his arm and he can throw the ball. Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year.
He was in town filming that.
He was here today.
He was where?
Henry Rowengardner was in studio today. He was with Bill and Wendy.
Oh, Thomasine, the kid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not Gary Busey.
No, I was going to say, what? No, because he's in town for Wizard World. The kid's in town for Wizard World.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a kid anymore. He's an adult.
He's an American Pie.
American Pie, man, please. So anyway, so Busey's in town. And I for some reason, at the time, I had a really hot girlfriend. I don't know how that happened. But she was, like, extraordinarily hot, and she enjoyed going to China Club, which is not a place that you would normally find me. When I was a drinking man, I was in a, you know, look, we talked about the Nisei.
Yeah,
that's the kind of
bars.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, but she was hot, and she wanted to go to the China Club, and I was like, okay, you're hot. I don't know what the hell you're doing. You must have lost a bet. I don't know what you're doing with me. But she was also capable of getting into VIP places, like, because she was that hot.
Right.
You know, so she could walk up to the velvet rope and just look at the guy. The bouncer's like, go ahead. And we did that like 3 or 4 times in a couple of different places. And every single time the bouncer, you know, like as I followed her in, they were like, are you kidding me?
Hey.
This guy, you're with this guy. He gets to come in here. So anyway, we were at China Club one night. And she's like, let's go to the VIP room. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. And we go into the VIP room. And there's Gary Busey, okay? And he's talking to a couple of people at the bar, and I'm like, to the girl I'm dating, I was like, that's Gary Busey. And she's like, who? And we didn't last very long. She was hot, but she didn't know who Gary Busey was. You got to have my priorities, you know? But she was like, Gary Busey. And I'm like, yeah, he's great. He's fantastic. He's the best. And I'm like, I'm just going to go over and talk. And she had a couple of friends. I didn't leave her alone. She had a couple of friends, and they met. So she's off in the corner. So I walk up to Gary Busey. Now, you know, I didn't want to, and I walked up to him. And he was talking to somebody, and he kind of turned, and he looked at me, you know, and he had the Gary Busey look, you know. And I'm like, hey, listen, I just want to say I'm a really, really big fan. I think you're a terrific actor, and I loved you in Point Break. He went nuts. Point Break, that movie changed my life. And started telling, you know, and then he was talking my ear off. Because I told him how much I love Point Break. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And how much I loved him in it, you know. And so he was telling me all these stories. Man, Patrick Swayze really is Bodie. You know, and he's telling me all these stories about what Swayze made him skydive. And they did all this. He's telling all these great stories. But we're Catherine Bigelow. She's a goddess. You know, and like, and going on and on and telling all these stories. And I'm like talking about how much I love the movie and how much I know, you know. And then we start talking about some other stuff. And he's like, man, I like you. And so he gave me his phone number. He was staying at the Westin Hotel across from the Hancock, right across from the way. That's where he was staying. And so I called him up, and he's like, I gave him my home number, and he was calling my apartment, and he's going, hey, you want to hang out tonight? And we hung out at the China Club for like 4 nights in a row.
That's
and we went
amazing.
To a couple of other places, and it was insane. And so one night we're at the China Club, and we're in the VIP room again, and we're talking. And there's a group of girls that are standing on the other side of the bar, okay? And they're looking at us, and you can tell that they recognized him. You know what I mean? And they were like, you know, like staring over at him, and they, you know. And so they send a girl over, like she's the representative. They send a girl over, And she walks up and she's like, I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm a really big fan. He's like, thank you very much, you know. And she goes, I loved you in 48 hours. And he goes, damn it, that was Nick Nolte. I'm Gary Busey. I was nominated for an Academy Award for the Buddy Holly story, damn it. And then he walks away. And the girl's like, and I look at her and I'm like, I'm sorry. Because he went nuts. And then she walks away like almost in tears. And then they leave. He goes off to the bathroom, does something, and then comes back. And he's in a rage. That happens all the time. So apparently he used to get mistaken a lot for Nick Nolte. So that was one of the stories. And then very quickly, there's more to tell, but I can tell you some of this stuff off the air.
Right.
But one of my favorite things was they were screening Under Siege. Okay, that Warner Brothers had it. Now, you know, he's in Under Siege. Gary Busey and Tommy Lee Jones are the bad guys, and Steven Seagal, one of the few good movies Steven Seagal made. So anyway, they're screening Under Siege, Warner Brothers was at the time, at the Esquire Theater, which is right across, right down the street from the Westin. So I get the invite as a critic. I got the invite. And so I tell Gary, I'm like, you know, tonight they're screening Under Siege. He's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, they're having a screening right at the Esquire, like 3 blocks away from your hotel. And he's like, wow, nobody told me about it. I didn't know about it. And I'm like, yeah, they're screening it. And he's like, you think I'll be able to get in? And I'm like, you're in the movie. I think you'll be able to get into the screening because you're in the movie. And so I'm like, if anything, you can be my plus one. And he's like, all right. So we meet. We have a couple of drinks at the Westin. And we go to the Esquire Theater. And I watched Under Siege for the first time with Gary Busey sitting next to me doing basically DVD commentary through the whole thing. It was one of the greatest moments. And he's like, Steven Seagal's a punk. You know, and he's like, he refused to cut off his ponytail. And the director had to make him cut off his ponytail. You can't be in the Navy, have a ponytail like that. He's a punk. And then he's telling me there's a scene in the movie. You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
There's a scene in the movie where Gary Busey comes out in drag. He goes, I made this whole scene up. It was my idea to come out and drag. and it just went constantly throughout the entire movie. It was like a running commentary of hilarious and sometimes very vulgar comments that Gary Busey was making. So that was one of the highlights.
That's incredible.
Yeah. A whole week.
I can't believe I never knew that before.
Yeah, I can't believe I never told you. But a whole week, he took a liking to me. And it was like the last couple of weeks of shooting. And I was with him like every night. And then he left town. And by the way, have you seen Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
That's not a real mustache that Gary Busey has.
The Chet Stedman mustache.
It's a fake mustache. Yeah, it's a fake mustache because he didn't have a mustache when I was hanging with him. And then I see the movie like 7 months later and I'm like, he's got a fake mustache on. So anyway, that's just a couple of Gary Busey stories.
Wow.
Here's Mary on WGN. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hi, Nick. Well, this is almost more of a theater of the unself-aware story, although it's annoying if you're in a hurry and I have snap. Okay, so I'm one of those people who still goes to the bank because it's my excuse for taking a walk. And I'll go there, and there must be cutbacks. Sometimes there's only like 3 tellers, and there's a long line. And these old-timers, God bless them, they get up there, and all the tellers are young and buxom and pretty.
Yeah.
And they go on and on talking about the neighborhood. Their business is done. And they're like, yeah, some old-time story. I hear them, and one time I'm like, come on already. But I would consider it annoying if the line's wrapping around and they're going on and on
right.
About the flirting old guy, with the teller.
The old guys are flirting with the young tellers. That's good. Well, all I want to do is deposit a check. Could you try and hit on this woman some other time? That's a good one, Mary. That's a good one, yeah. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a few more of the annoying things we're going to get to here to wrap it up, and then what am I talking about here? You big dummy. That's what I'm talking about. I'm a big dummy. Let's see. Here's another person, 847, hates shopping carts all over the parking lot, especially in the handicap zone. 847 area code hates Christmas letters. Oh, like when you get a letter from somebody who says, this is what our family did all year.
Well, that goes hand in hand with the earlier one about constantly bragging
about
your family.
Kids, yeah. And it's like, oh, look, here's our letter that tells you what happened all year. I actually find that kind of endearing. First of all, you know, nobody sends letters anymore. You know, people do send Christmas cards. I mean, that's still a thing. But, like, I don't know. That doesn't bother me. I find that kind of charming. I'll look at it and go, oh, that's nice. The kid graduated 8th grade. That's great. Mom's got a new job. Cool. 815 area code says, leaving an empty toilet paper roll or just putting the new one on top and not filling it. Let's see. Not closing the shower curtain, not closing the toothpaste, but putting the cap someplace else, not putting the food away that you just took out and to make a meal.
I do that all the time.
What do you do? Leave food out?
I leave food out. Because then I'm like, I'll come back.
No.
And maybe I want some more. And then it's a hassle to pull it back out. And
so you just leave the food that you made out, and then you'll put it away at some other point.
Yeah, eventually I'll go back and go, I gotta put this away.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're not going to leave it.
No.
Like, overnight.
No.
No, of course not.
No.
Because that's disgusting.
That would, I mean, just ruin the food you made.
Right. Like I've said before, my apartment's not the neatest. There's dust and little dust bunnies everywhere. I need to, you know, I need to dust up, but there's never any kind of food-related crap in my apartment.
Oh, well, good for you.
It makes me nuts.
V left for like 3 days.
No.
It's probably empty, but it was a pizza box.
Oh, no, no.
In our bedroom.
Oh, no, no, no.
I think it was empty.
Oh, my God. But still, I don't
know. Have a tendency, we're both slobs. We have a tendency to eat in bed.
Yeah.
So we go and we watch stuff on our computers.
Like Hot Rod.
Yeah. Forced to watch Hot Rod. And we snack on stuff. And I guess one night, because, you know, I'm not there.
Yeah.
He was eating a Demos pizza.
Uh-huh.
And he left the box and I saw it was on the side table.
Wow.
And I'm like, really?
Yeah, I can't.
I was like, I'm not picking that up.
That was the only thing about me, you know, with roommates that I've had, whether they be male or female, I always was like, if it's like a half-eaten sandwich and it's sitting on the coffee table or something for like a half a day, it's like, get it out of here, man, throw it out. How difficult the food related dirty stuff is. What, you know, I can handle dust and maybe you know, need a mop every once in a while, and you know, I don't get to it right away. But the food stuff, I got to get it. It has to go. It has to go. I can't.
I'm really bad at that.
And dirty dishes in the sink is another thing.
I do that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I get, you know, like, the thing is, when I was married, when I cooked every night, so Heather would, you know, sometimes do the dishes, but if she didn't, I would do the dishes as well.
Oh, no. See, that's where I'm just like, I can't deal with all of this. Yeah. I just cooked all this food and now I have to clean up.
I know. Normally it would be, you know, it's a little give and take there, but sometimes she wouldn't. She wouldn't do the dishes, and it would drive me. I'd walk into the kitchen. I'm like, well, I'm doing these.
Right.
So
I get to the point, like, I'll see them. I'll go, oh, those dishes probably need to get washed. I'm going to go this way.
Yeah. No, I understand. I totally understand.
And then eventually I hit the break. I'm like, all right, let's get down.
It's the food thing. That's all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, the chicken there, I triple checked the chicken. That was in the break room here.
How do you triple check it?
I don't know. I was looking at it and I picked up one piece. I was going to throw it out if I wasn't going to eat it. And then I took like one little nibble and it tasted fine. So I ate it because it wasn't.
Why would it taste bad?
I don't know if it's gone bad, because sometimes the stuff, you don't know how long stuff's been sitting out there.
But it's cooked.
I know, but I don't want it out. I don't want to leave food out.
You're not going to.
It's the danger zone.
Yeah, but it's not going to go bad.
Yeah, but it's not going to taste good, and I just don't want food that's been out. I don't. It's just
right. Like, and it has been.
Yeah.
And you still ate it.
No, but I mean, like, if it's like bad, you know, like people who leave food. Like, I've had roommates who have left food out like for a week.
All right. Well, this is a few hours.
Right. I know. But I'm still anal about it.
But even if you like take that nibble, it's not going to. And if it's bad, it's not going to taste any different.
Yeah.
Because these are just temperatures and
right.
You know,
and bacteria. It was fully cooked. The macaroni and cheese I wouldn't touch. Macaroni and cheese I wouldn't touch. There's cream involved in that. And, but a piece of fried chicken that's been sitting out, that's okay. But still, I just, the food thing, it's just, clean it up.
Oh, no.
Throw it in the garbage.
And I'm amazed. You've worked in the bar industry.
Yeah.
The service industry.
Yeah.
And I have not been above eating something that was maybe on top of the garbage.
Oh, no, no, no. What are you, George Costanza?
What? It was on top.
No, that's okay.
It was on top.
Yeah, no.
In a bag.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Okay. All right. That's a good thing to admit, Esmeralda. The good thing is 3:48 in the morning right now.